Gather together in your presence. We thank you, wonderful Holy Spirit. Oh, make Jesus more bigger than we've ever known. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This will be a great year. Praise God. This will be a greater year than you ever recalled in your lifetime. Praise God. It's a day of new beginnings, a new solid effort moving into things of God, flying higher than you've ever imagined. Thank you, Jesus, for all the blessings that are coming in. Oh, what the devil has tried to steal, you're going to return back to them sevenfold. Thank you, Jesus, for the glory of God has arisen upon every one of your saints. Hallelujah, and darkness shall vanish away. We give you praise and glory and adoration, thanksgiving for the word of God tonight. It shall be exalted. He shakala mo sonto koro. Go ahead and praise him again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. O koro bo shite. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you honor, Lord. We just focus on you and your word. Without you, Lord, we cannot do anything. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead, be seated. Praise God. Well, if you turn in your Bibles with me today, tonight, we are going to read the Bible and get into the Word. Tonight, we our area of title of our topic area is actually on spiritual warfare and making your stand. And I entitled this message, Stand Strong, Stand Long. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and we'll read a number of verses of Scripture. And I want to propose to you an idea tonight, if you're listening in. Thank you, those that are watching by live telecast, if you're wherever you are. And I know people watch wherever there's availability to get online, and people watch on their tablets and their phones. And how many of you ever watch on your tablet, your phone? You've been away. A number of you done that. I've done it. Praise God. Appreciate the technology. You know, the devil is trying to hijack that, but Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. And so I thank God for that. So I'm going to propose to you some ideas. Let's go to read Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Everybody say, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I propose an idea to you tonight, and that is, if you want to win the battles of life, whatever the enemy throws at you, you have to stand strong in the place where God has given what God has given you, and you have to sometimes stand long. Big victories don't happen overnight. They take time. Sometimes they take long because you're too slow to respond. Sometimes they take long because everybody else has to get in place and not everybody's ready to help out. God might use you, but you don't respond as quickly as you should be. And we all like to believe that people respond quickly, but that's not always the case. Just take, for instance, your own self. You don't always respond when you're supposed to respond because you're so busy at your own personal life. We're all busy. We all think that somebody else has more time than we have because we think that they have a lesser job. And so, if we're going to stand against the enemy, you're going to have to stand strong. You're going to have to remain strong. And there's a number of things you have to do to stand, to prepare yourself to stand strong. And if you stand strong, you got to stand long. Smith Wigglesworth was a man, pioneer in the faith. He was a man called Apostle of Faith, and he brought the message of faith to the generation that we understand now as some of the folks that we refer to as the faith movement. And that was more of an emphasis. You know, the faith movement really is an emphasis on the teaching ministry or going back to the Word of God. And some people took that out and said something that it didn't say, and so kind of made statements about it that made people turn away. You know, the devil will twist something. He perverts things. He turns things around and tries to take advantage of people of what they don't understand. I also need to point out to you in terms of standing strong, standing long, is that when the enemy, wherever the enemy has been in your life, he's always ready to return back to it. Whatever you had victory from before, he's going to always want to come back, no matter how long you've had victory. If you stopped eating, if you're overeating, if you're on drugs before, and just when you thought after 17 years you had it beat, suddenly all of a sudden it's right there with you. If you, whatever you had before, habits you had before you were born again, all those habits can come back in a snap at a moment. It don't take long for the devil to come back and try to destroy you. He's waiting for you to let your guard down. So, are you guys okay tonight to listen to this? I think that this will help you very muchly. And I want to introduce this by saying, you know, there's a war going on right now for your life. And your life means a whole lot to a lot of people that are on you significantly. Because when you're not right with God and your guard is down and the devil's got you, you know how many people that affects. So it's not a selfish thing that we're doing. We're living. Your fulfillment of your dream affects so many people. And not regarding that really is a disservice to God, because your work on earth really is to help other people fulfill their work. And if you don't understand that, read your New Testament, because the Bible says no man is an island to himself, and we're all connected together whether we like it or not. And I never got into ministry because it was the best thing to do. Everybody wanted me. When I got into ministry, nobody wanted me. Lots of people don't want me yet, but I'm here because God wants me. Hallelujah. Amen. But, you know, like I'm just speaking against the idea, because sometimes, you know, it's our own selves that doesn't want us in ministry. And we don't want to follow God, what God wants us to do, because we think that God got it all wrong and he has us in the wrong place. And so we begin to tell God what to do. Praise God. We just go home right now. Amen. Just say, man, this is good. That was a good word. I got some. So there's a war going on. Enemy is ready to kill and steal and destroy, and he's not playing, you know, easy games. And as we look around, we see this everywhere. You don't have to look too far. So we will have to win every battle by standing strong. And standing as long as the victory comes. There's no set time in terms of, you know, we always want to ask God, when is it going to be done? No, you keep standing. God tells you to stand until it's done. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 15 says this. The New King James Version says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." How many of you know we're dead to the world, that the world, the things of the world, you know, if it really has you in a grip, maybe you ought to understand if you're saved or not. But we're free, we're dead to the world. And so Bible says here that he has made us alive together with him, that is Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses and wiped out the handwriting requirements as was against us. And sometimes we like to point out everybody else's sins and condemn them, but God has already forgiven those people. And there's one thing about the spiritual battle, he likes you to be criticizing other Christians about, you know, about if they didn't open their building or not for other people. It's not our fault. It's not our, place to criticize somebody. And God will have to deal with everybody. And, you know, don't get into that. And having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped away their handwriting, their requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, and having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities. Everybody said disarm principalities and powers. See, Jesus disarmed the enemy. So he's got a lot of people believing that he is so big that he's going to take everything. But you have to read, if you believe the Bible or not, you have to believe it, because the Bible says he disarmed the devil. I mean, it says that he reduced him to zero as far as you're concerned. Amen. And so sometimes in our own minds, we've made up all these things that he's about to take you. And you're just about going down under. You just got one nostril above. Trying to take in that last breath before you go down. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. Notice this, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Triumphing. Hallelujah. That means that God, Jesus, disarmed. He totally wiped the enemy's ability to harm you and me. As far as the spiritual things are concerned, now there's natural things that we do to make us susceptible to the attack. We have to watch ourselves. We'll tell you about that if we get there. So, triumphing over them. So, Jesus triumphed over them. Jesus made victory for us, gave us victory so that we can walk in it. So, whatever victory Jesus had gotten, he's given that to us. You know, like sometimes we do all kinds of crazy warfare stuff that, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but we do all kinds of stuff. I know in the 80s, I know when I was growing up in the church, there was all kinds of stuff, you know, you have to yell at the devil, and there's still stuff going on that's almost just as crazy. It's not that kind of battle. So there's a war going on. So there's a battle going on with the enemy, and he's throwing everything, every effort against us to throw us off. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul talking to a young pastor, minister, he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, the fight of faith sometimes has to do with that confession that we have, that you must say that I have victory when you don't have victory. You're like, you're going right down. I mean, you don't have any money, that they're going to pick up your car next week, and you're, you know, the doctor handed you this thing and said that you're going to be dead in 6 months. What are you going to do? Call Ghostbusters? You're going to have to make that confession of faith, and that's the fight of faith that you're going to have. The fight of faith is the fight to say the good thing when you want to say the bad thing. It's pretty quiet among this Pentecostal church tonight there. No, look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, for that we walk in the flesh, and we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. There is your warfare. The warfare is going on between those two ears. all in that head. The devil lies to people all the time, you know, you're not good enough, you'll never make it, you know, you're not as good as him. Look at it, he doesn't like you. Come on now. You know, you can never do that. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not slim enough. Anybody ever had that besides Pastor Ken? he tells me this, you know. No, you know, we all have that. I have it regularly. And we always jokingly, Pastor Ken and I, we always tell each other this. We said, you know what, Pastor Ken, Pastor Roma, he says, I don't care what the devil said about you. I don't believe it. Amen. So this walk is really not a fleshly walk, it's a spiritual walk. A lot of times the attack is coming right at you in your mind. And so the thing about it is to learn to build up our mind, to change our mind, to think like God. It's hard to think like God if you don't have the word. Because when you're really sick and you got all this medication and you're feeling so bad, you can't walk around, you can't eat this, can't do that. And, you know, the devil says, yeah, you know, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. And you got to think like God. God says, you know, it calls those things which be not as other way. He says, yeah, I know him. It looks like I'm dying. The doctor said I'm going to die, but I ain't dying. Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to have a better testimony. Hey, man, when it's all said and done, I'll have a great testimony. I'm telling everybody. Tell the devil, say, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell everybody that the devil's a liar. He said he's going to kill me, but I'm still here. Right, Mary? Praise God. So we have weapons. You know, the devil, he's got some weapons there, but we have weapons too. So we are equipped, armed, and dangerous. You're looking at a bunch of dangerous people here, some bad people. Amen. The devil hates, don't like that bad Christian. He's a bad dude. Ephesians 6:10, one more time. Let's read a number of scriptures. So verse 18, standing, resisting the enemy. So if we're going to stand strong, we're going to have to learn how to resist the enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's not telling you try to be strong. He's saying you be strong. Be strong. That is a decision that you make. It's not a choice. It's just God said, be strong. When the Lord talked to Joshua after he was given the reign from Moses, passed on the baton to him, and he didn't feel like he's going to be, you know, a strong man. I mean, you know, after all, Moses, man, he led all those Israelites. He's got all these miracles behind his back. And little old Joshua, just a young man, is going to take over. And he's scared, intimidated. And so the Lord said to him, Joshua, be strong, be courageous. He said, be that. Be that. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Say, I be strong. Say, I be strong. Say, I am strong. Say, I'm not trying to be strong. Say, I'm not trying to be strong. Say, I am strong. See, that's what you got to determine. I'm strong. You got to say that when you're so feeling so weak and mentally sick. You got to say that. That's how it works. See, you cannot run against the enemy with your mouth closed. That's what Mark Hankins tells us all the time when we go to a camp meeting. See, David ran to the enemy with his mouth wide open and said, I'm going to kill you. And he's just a little bitty guy. So, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, the word wiles is actually, a little, you know, the devil is like, you know, he's always gimosha. He's all like hiding behind something. He's trying to, you know, silently, you know, behind, you know, try to devise something. Like, that's what it means. Like, he's like, you know, he's devising certain way, a hidden kind of scheme there. Yeah. That's what it means. Scheme, like a scheme. He's trying. Like right now, I'm going to tell you something. You might not be having a battle right now. You might be okay right now. But listen to me. One of those days, maybe 2 years, 3 years from now, he's going to try something. You could be riding high for 5 years. All of a sudden, bang. And then he's going to try to do something. So the Bible always tells you to be aware. Sometimes, just like when you think, you know, everything's okay, you know, you start to let your guard down, then you start listening to, ABBA again, and you know, whatever you were doing before, like, you know, all the time it's ABBA now, all the time ABBA. No, I'm not against ABBA. I like ABBA myself. A little Swedish music every once in a while. You know, that's fun. You know, sometimes I'm driving around and I listen to the 70s. You can't listen to the 70s all day and get built up in the Lord. Amen? Somebody says, you listen to the 70s, you listen to CBC every day. Whether you drink your sweet drink hot or cold, it's up to you. I mean, whatever you want to drink, go ahead. Say, you know, he says, stand against the wiles of the devil. So how can you stand against the wiles of the devil if you don't know what he's up to? So that means there's some learning to do. And you have to learn about, if you're going to win against the enemy, you're going to learn what he's capable of doing. How many of you watched a fight last Saturday? Now be honest about it. How many of you, we can repent right now. How many of you watched that fight Saturday night? Huh? Okay. I watched everybody. Okay, so anyway, I watched a fight. Somebody let me watch it. I watched it online. Somebody from this church. And I enjoyed every minute of it. But anyway, people get all, you know, you'll get all funny about that. But anyway, you know, they had to, these guys fighting had to learn about each other's tactics. And it seems like the senior citizen won in that deal there. That don't come against an old man and try to beat him because he's got little tricks up his sleeves too. The devil's been around too, right? He's been around. So this guy, what his name is, Featherstone? What is his name? Weatherstone. Mayweather. Sounds like an Indian guy. Weatherstone. But anyway, Mayweather, he's a black dude, right? And this Irish guy, he should have used his Irish soap that morning. But anyway, he got cleaned, right? Or he lost, you know, he didn't get really good. I saw the fight, but anyway. So they had to understand each other's tactics, whoever's going to win. So you have to learn your tactic if you're going to fight your Mayweather. Okay, let's go on to another illustration. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. How many know this is against you? But I want you to understand, these principalities are the same ones Jesus beat up in Colossians chapter 2. Okay? Because as soon as people read this, they get, oh. Because they don't understand, why would God tell you to stand up to principalities if you can't? Are you listening to that? Because so next time you phone me and say, please pray for me. No, the Lord told you to stand up against the enemy. Because they think, you know, every pastor, minister, they have the corner. Benny Hinn has the corner and all the principalities. No, you have just as much right over your own area and even more than he has. Or Kenneth Copeland, or anybody, any kind of Ken. Well, you have to be able to stand against the enemy yourself. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We've been raised up in heavenly places. Amen. We sit with Jesus, and the Bible says he's under our feet. 1:22, I think it is over there, Ephesians. In that prayer, he made a prayer for us by the Holy Spirit to pray by the Spirit of God through the apostle, Paul there to show us that we've been raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so it says in here, therefore take up to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, evil days when you're attacked, having done all to stand. So you got to know if you did it all already. That is to understand all the objectives that God has given you, whatever those the weapons are that God has arrayed you with. Stand therefore, having girded about with truth. So he's telling you right there, truth. All these weapons have to do with God's word. Amen. Weapon of truth. The word of God is truth. You have to walk in truth, not only understand what the word of God says, but walk in it. When you know right from wrong, if you know you're stealing something, if your heart condemns you about anything, and if you know it's wrong, then you have to stop. Because the enemy is going to get in there somewhere along the line. They might meet that right that second, but he's going to come there somewhere along the line and get a hold of you before it's too late. You say, oh, there's one little drink is not too bad. One beer is not bad. Oh, I could just sleep with this girl one time. That should be okay. I'll go on this internet a little bit and check this out. This girl, it's not too bad, this one. Huh? So it's going to, all of a sudden, I know a minister right now that we used to watch on television. Y'all want to know about that, right? I'm not going to tell you about that. But you tell me, like, you know what I'm saying? People, you don't care. He don't care who you are. If you're working for Faith City Church or Teen Challenge or whoever you are, he's going to try and get a hold of you. Glory to God. So he's waiting. A little bit of lie here and there. So you have to walk in truth. Not only read the Bible. The Bible says, thy word is truth. In other words, the Bible is true. And there is a spirit of truth called, he is called the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you about if you're in the wrong. Amen. See, the Bible says, whatever he shows you is wrong for you, it's wrong for you. You don't go to ask somebody, hey, is it wrong to drink a little bit of booze? The moment you said it, it's wrong for you. Because you already, we always think about sins are really wicked. You know, you got to kill somebody and mangle them apart. I mean, no, it could be just other things that you never thought sins. Spiritual sins are worse than anything else. So, with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, you know, you got to know your rightful place as a Christian. You got to know, I am righteous. Everybody say, I am righteous. Like you'll never be any more righteous right now than you will be 1,000 years from now. If you live 1,000 years on this world, you'll never be any more righteous than the day you got born again. Amen. Now, holiness is a different story. So we're to live holy. We have this sanctification, the work of sanctification, and we can only do that with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit shows us and helps us along, and we try to do a lot of stuff. You know, that's the work of grace in our lives, right? We can only work with what the Lord said. So don't be if you have a hard area in your life, listen, don't feel bad about it. I mean, there's everybody else is in the same boat with you. Just don't go and delve in it, and you know. So praise God. Let's move on over here. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, there's so much to say about these things. You know, the gospel of peace. That's what it's all about. Spreading the gospel, getting ready, doing it. Not only just telling, witnessing, you say, hey, you have Jesus the Lord? No, are you walking in peace, the peace of God too? So, and then it says over here, above all, is above everything else, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there's talking about prayer there. He's talking about learning to pray in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost in tongues. He's talking there about taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, using the word against the enemy, fighting back. If you're gonna win, you're gonna have to fight back. You can't let the enemy tell you that you're no good. Just say you're no good. They said, the Lord made me acceptable. I'm accepted in the Lord. I'm okay. So this is what he's talking about. This is a warfare going on in your head. You know, you don't see a literal devil talking to you. I'm the devil. Here's my tail. No, he's not going to show up like that. He's going to show up like, you know, whatever temptation you have. Everybody's got a different weakness in here. Kryptonite, whatever it is. You have a weak area. We know there's a certain area of your weakness. The devil, you know, he's going to try to come back to that. No matter how long you've been saved, he's going to try and do his best to try to render you, you know. No. So we have to use what God has given us. First of all, you got to know what you have. First of all, you're not a hopeless person. If there is a God, there's always hope. Okay? You got to use every belief. You know, your beliefs in the Word is what's going to help you. What do you believe about the devil? And what you believe about the devil is really critical in terms of if he's going to beat you or not. So most people are defeated because their beliefs are not based on the Scripture. Their beliefs on something, they're based on something else. So we have to pray, both mentally and spiritually. We have to confess and say the right things when we don't want to say the right thing when bad things are happening to us. Especially on Facebook. Let's get on and tell everybody how much we hate Joel Osteen. Or anybody else. We're going to edit this program anyway. I'm telling you the truth because people say all kinds of stuff. They don't know about Joel Osteen. He's one of the most gracious guys you ever meet. Now you know where I stand. I stand with everybody who's preaching the gospel. I'm for everybody who preaches the gospel. And if we knew everything about what's in your closet, we would probably get mad at you too. So we got to think right. We got to think right. I'm telling you what you got to do, right? I'm telling you, okay? You got to use the blood. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Word of our testimony. The Bible says we just cover myself with the blood in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't have to wait for the band to sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. I do it myself. I don't wait till I wait to the next conference and say, hallelujah. No, I say, God, go ahead and praise God myself. Especially when everything's going wrong. The best time to do it. So use the angels that you got. Tell your angels, go get the money, angels. I need some money. Go get me some fries, too, along with that. Huh? He said, no, that's the fries are made of the devil. Okay. So another thing about it, you got to depend on the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Say, what's he doing in there? So, hey, what are you doing down there? Is he hitchhiking through life? Somebody said, no, he's inside of you because he's your helper. He's a strong one on the inside of you. He's going to make you strong. You know, everybody say, I'm stronger than I look. Say, I'm stronger than I feel. Say, I'm stronger than I think. See, you know, because sometimes we think we're weak when the Bible says you're strong. And just because you look, you know, you can hardly walk, you know. Oh, thank God, I'm victor in the Lord. He's got a sore back. Oh, I'm victorious in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got a back spasm. But you're stronger than that. We're not fighting a warfare of natural warfare. Are you guys doing okay? I just drove 15 hours. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Always trust God. Say, always trust God. People say, well, I depend on the Lord. You know, if you don't know the Bible, you can't depend on the Lord. If you don't know the Scriptures, you can't trust God. You trust God as much as you understand the Scripture. So, you know, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I remember, you know, one of our great men of God that we admire so much used to say this. Some people are waiting for what they look at, like a devil showing up, you know, a real devil, like, you know, dressed in a red suit with a pitchfork and long tail and horns on. They say, I'm the devil. They're waiting for that to show up. Then he goes, I'm going to resist that. No, the devil comes in all kinds of forms. The devil comes all, he comes in a nice little, you know, like you're sitting there on a Saturday morning and you install the television and all of a sudden there comes a Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And it opens up and all the sets coming down and you're like, wow. You got to resist that. Trigger, hello. Or all of a sudden the colonel comes on. And you've been trying to fight the bulge for a long time and the colonel comes on. It's you know, his finger looking good. Huh? And you just lost 25 pounds. Huh? How many pounds did you lose? 100? I mean, she lost a lot of pounds, and I'm going to try to take her to the chicken house tonight. See if she resists that. She's done a good job. Amen? Are you guys doing okay? Okay. So we have to resist the enemy. And so the enemy, he's going to try to do whatever he can to get you off. We're going to have to stand strong. I mean, you lost 50 pounds or 80 pounds, whatever you lost. You lost 80 pounds. That's a whole person there. that's amazing. 80 pounds is a whole lot. I wish Pastor Ken was 80 pounds. He told me how much you weigh. I'm not going to tell you. How do you think how... I want you to guess. If you can guess his right age, I will buy you a Coke. Listen, don't give up. The Bible says, Galatians 6:10, let us not grow weary in doing it in due season. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good, especially to those. Now, let's talk about you know, something there that we can relate to. So sometimes we lose heart. We want to give up. We want the due season to be now. Due season is always sometimes when you can't have it, right then, because your flesh wants it. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. So we have to learn to resist. And whatever you yield to, what he's giving to you, is going to be your master. Romans 6, you know, read Romans 6, 12 to 16 over there, the latter section of that verse of scripture. Verse 16 says, don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So, you know, if God tells us it's up to us to yield or not yield or resist the devil, we can do it. Amen. So the devil right now, he's doing some research, and he's been watching you for a while, and he's looking at your patterns. And he's watching. He's not a, you know, he's a very clever. He's been around for a long, long time. And he knows human nature, and he's not as dumb as people make, you know, he knows certain things. And he has strategies. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand and power of God. At the right time, he will lift you in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God. There's one right there. There's a huge area right there is worries and cares. How the enemy gets to people is to give them lots of worry. Worry about the, you know, I'm worried about the, you know, the Texas, whatever, chainsaw massacre, whatever. You get all kinds of things to worry about. Halloween's coming. So, and I don't have a costume yet. I mean, what's happening? Go down to the thrift shop and buy yourself a good costume. Brought to you by, okay. Give all your worries and cares to your wife. Is that what it's saying there? Give it to your pastor. No, I don't want him. I got my own. Calls me up. Pastor, I got this word. I don't want to hear that. Give me a good story. So give it to God. It says, stay alert. Watch out. So stay alert. Watch out, your enemy, your great enemy, the devil. He says the enemy, the devil, he tells you right there. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. Don't chum around with him. He prowls around like a roaring lion. Look at this. Looking for someone to devour. He's looking for a chance to get in. Stand firm against him. So how are you going to stand firm against him if you don't understand what his tactics are? He does have tactics, so we're going to understand what his tactics are. And stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. So the biggest thing here that God, the devil wants to do, in Genesis chapter 3 there, the Bible came to Eve. I don't know if it was morning or evening. She came to her in the daytime, but he said, Eve, listen. I don't know, what did God tell you? And, you know, I mean, he's talking to the devil. I don't know, you shouldn't talk to devils, right? But people do talk to the devils sometimes. So he says, you know, did God really say that? So he's putting a question about his word, about God's word. So the devil is going to come and challenge every scripture that you are standing on about faith, healing, about victory, about everything. He's going to question everything that you believe to be true about God's word. So that's how it comes in your mind. Remember that battle we're talking about? So this is what's going to come in your mind. You're like, oh, is that what he says over there? I remember I got so filled with the Holy Spirit. I got so drunk with the Spirit of God. I went up in the spiritual realm in the spirit with the Holy Spirit, with God, when I got filled with the Spirit. I went up in the heavenly places. I went in a place where I was just totally saturated with the presence of God. That's many, many years ago. 30-some years ago, something like that. And then I came out of that, and I spoke in tongues. I heard myself spoke in tongues. And I felt the rushing wind. I felt the many waters. I experienced the rushing water of the Holy Spirit. I experienced the wind blowing against on me. The presence of the Holy Spirit came upon me. It was so powerful. I went up into the spiritual realm. And I was lost in the presence of Jesus. Everybody in that church disappeared. I didn't even know I was in church. And then I came back to myself. I came back to myself. It was like, you know, when you see, when you see that on television, when somebody has a dream, it was like that. And I came back. Oh, I'm here. Exactly. That's what it seemed like to me. I'm telling you what I can explain to you, how it felt for me. It felt like, that's what it felt like. And I felt like waters coming out of me like that. That's what, how powerful it was. And next day, the devil came up to me and said to me, you know that thing there you had? You never had that experience? He spoke to me. He spoke to me. Told me what I had. I didn't. It was just something. It was just not real. Then he sent a guy with a PhD to tell me I didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't speak with tongues because that's done away with. I said, it couldn't be because I've experienced it. It's too late to tell me it's not for me. Like Keith Moore used to say, you know, it's too late to tell the guy swimming and doing the backstroke saying, there's no water in there. And he's doing the backstroke. Too late to tell me now. I've done a few laps. Jump in. So that's what I'm telling you. He'll tell you. And he told Eve the same thing. It becomes so real. He's going to tell you, listen, all that Bible training you had there, you know, forget about that. That's not going to help you anymore. The Bible school training you had, no. Forget. You're going to forget about that right now. All the stuff that you grew up with when you were a kid, that doesn't matter now. No, everything you were told as a kid in the Bible is true. And whatever you've been told, that's going to, the Holy Spirit will bring whatever he put inside you, it's going to come out. Amen. Everything. And my wife used to teach Mandy when Mandy was this little itty bitty baby, about that small. I remember, you know, these kids. And you know, whatever they put in you, it'll never go away. It'll never go away. So this enemy, he lies to people. Revelation 12:9 says that the enemy, he is called the great deceiver. He is so clever at lying to you. He'll tell you different things that this is not true. This word of faith thing, don't even believe that. You know, the Pentecostals, don't believe them either. Don't believe those people. Don't believe, you know, hate this one, hate that one. Talk about that. Put it online. Don't tell everybody about it. And he'll begin to push you, and you're all of a sudden you're swimming with everybody else, and they're criticizing everybody else, and you know, and all of a sudden you're right into it. He's so clever at getting people into the swing of how the rest of the gang is moving against the things of God. He's called the great deceiver. And you know, we saw that over there in Genesis chapter 3. If you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, you see that how Satan lied, you know, did that whole thing, and they died. Verse 2:17 says they died spiritually. And then, over in 2 Corinthians 1 to 4, the Bible says that Satan deceived, or at least, you know, Eve was deceived. You know, she believed a lie. So his attack is going to come, and he's going to lie to you that it's not worth coming to church at Faith City Church. Don't serve there. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't listen to Pastor Romo. They said to Pastor Romo there, he's doing some magic. He's got some kind of a Indian medicine stuff. That's what he told me one time. He said, I wish I knew what it was. I could bottle up and sell some of it if I had it. I'd sell it cheaply. So let me just tell you something. Wherever he had you before, in any area of your life, he's going to try to come back. Jesus said in Matthew 12:43-45, the Bible says, when unclean spirit has gone out of man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and find none. And he says, I will return to my house once I came out. And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then he goes and takes with him seven more other spirits more wicked than himself. Then he entered that there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall this unto this wicked generation. You know what? You know, the news about this as well. You know, the world's not going to get any better. It's just, you know, you read the Bible. If you read the Bible, read the news. And, you know, it's sad because we have to stick with God. Stick with the Lord. And Jesus said he'll return. Now watch this. Jesus knew from experience. He taught this. He told the people of Matthew 12. Over in the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus said, verses 12 to 13, when Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. See, he's not going to quit. So you better be prepared to stand strong and stand long. And you got to do what Jesus did, and that he used the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and tell them what the scripture said. Thus said the Lord, this is what God's word says about me. I'm a winner. Let's go ahead and stand there. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, let's give him praise, people. Oh, we praise him. Thank you, Lord. We give him praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We give you glory and adoration and thanksgiving too. Praise God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. How many people here that would say, Pastor, you spoke my language tonight. You spoke whatever I needed. Let me just see your hand. Wave your hand over there. See, the Lord's talking to people right now. He's doing it. This is the Bible. The Lord has spoken to you. And everybody bow their heads right now. And let's get in the presence of God. And I'm just close your eyes because, you know, sometimes we get distracted. You can do this with eyes open if you want, but just close your eyes for now. Father, we're so grateful for the Word of God, for the almighty Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited. The devil has been stopped. He has been stopped in the tracks of trying to deceive. He's been hounding you. He's been trailing you. He's been telling you. He's been telling you things. He's been lying to you. Oh, he's told you that you've been cheated out of life, but he's a liar. He's trying to tell you to turn back. You will never be able to enjoy what he said because he's a liar. Father, I praise you. And I thank you for every saint of God, every man, woman, and child, everyone that's watching by television. I thank you that you begin to divide the truth in your scripture. We give you praise, thanksgiving. We lay down our hearts before you and say, God, I'm so laying my heart before you today. And I say, Lord, have me, take me, every part of my life. Lord, even if I don't want to, I'm giving you an opportunity. Come, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to want to. Help me to want to change. Help me to see things I did not see. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you said you would never leave me or forsake me. You are faithful, God. Even when I wasn't faithful, you're still faithful. I give you thanks, Lord. I give you thanks. We love you, Lord. We appreciate the word. We appreciate the wonderful fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the wonderful warmth of it. He gives us the comfort of his love, his warm embrace, his leading, his guidance, his wisdom that he just gives us and dispels all the wicked things the enemy is trying to say to us. Thank you for the washing of the water of the word of our minds, for cleansing us tonight, for sanctifying us more. Thank you for a deeper walk of the Spirit of God. And I want to thank you, Lord. I stand with every man, woman, and child, every person in this room right now. We stand against the enemy. We command him, Satan, you get your hands off these people. You get your hands off the families. You get your hands off the singles. You get your hands off the men and women of God in this room and the families that are represented here in the name of Jesus. We stand against you. We come against you with the blood of Jesus. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we set ourselves free. And we set our families free. And we set every one of them free in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off their homes and lives and relationships and their physical bodies and their minds and their material possessions and their houses and their homes and everything else in the name of Jesus. Thank you for healing sick bodies tonight. Bodies are being healed right now. Bodies are being healed right now. Bodies are being healed right now. Bodies are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.